Thank you for joining in once again and listening to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm chef and host Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host Aaron Howlett. Join us again as we go on another culinary adventure of the Comox Valley and beyond.
Thanks for joining us as we explore Wood Mountain Lodge on episode 155. Hey, and thank you for joining in and listening to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. We're on location again. We took a bit of a drive.
A bit of an ordeal.
A little bit longer than we thought, but we came to one of the probably the most beautiful spots I've been to in a long time with like an actual gorgeous view of the Comox Valley.
I know. Yeah. So we're at Wood Mountain Lodge today. As we're setting up, I think we're both kind of awestruck and taken aback by just how incredible the view is here. Definitely one of the more beautiful locations that we've recorded from. And we're joined with Max and Martina. Am I right?
That's right. Yeah.
The owners, proprietors of Wood Mountain Lodge. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming up here. Yeah.
Now, I know we're going a little bit outside of our general just food. Most of our podcasts are strictly food, and we're getting into a little bit of what you guys are doing up here, because this is a lodge sort of retreat. Maybe you guys could just sort of explain to our listeners what you guys are doing up here.
I guess, Martina and I, we've been up here for about 4 months now, and I've lived here for the better part of 3 years, two switchbacks down from the lodge. The lodge obviously has been up here for about 12 years now. It was built in 05 and run under a different name in the past. Just through neighborly relationships, we kind of became aware of this place. And then Martina and I met in Tofino about 2 years ago, almost to the day, getting close to it anyways.
Yeah. Anniversary coming up. Is
yeah. Put that in my phone. So we met in Tofino, and at the time Martino was working at the Wicked Inish Inn. Comes from a hospitality background combined with marketing, which is, I guess, your real, used to be your real job. And then Martina moved over here on the mountain not too long ago, about a year or so ago. And at right around that time, we started negotiating with the former owners of the resort here about taking it over, as they were trying to shed some assets, and they're trying to retire, and and this is a huge sort of project for them as well. And so we came to an arrangement, and Martina has always had the dream of running her own little B&B, and now we're kind of a little further up on the scale.
this is no little B&B.
Personally, I come from a forestry background. That's how I came to the island originally.
Okay.
Moved up onto the mountain here just to get away from the craze of the valley and that kind of stuff. But yeah, being close to it. At the beginning of the year, we kicked off with a big New Year's party, and we've been at it since.
Wow.
And yeah, this is our new main focus in our lives, I guess.
Yeah, the only way I had ever heard of this was my brother had worked with Tria, with Kathy Jarrett, owner of Tria, and they had a couple of retreats up here, and he couldn't stop speaking of how amazing it was, and that's how I even knew it was here, or otherwise I wasn't even aware of it. But he said that you could do a few things, and maybe you can elucidate. He said that you could either just rent a room, or you can rent the place, and you can make a night of it, or a weekend of it, or a week of it, or... Is that what do you find people are doing, or what are you offering? Or
we're kind of offering like everything, so everybody can come to us and just suggest something he would like to do up here.
Right.
So right now we offer like rooms for just a night or two nights, or people can just come up here and have their family reunion or just a retreat. We do have some yoga retreats coming up for May, and also weddings in the summer. So it's a place for, I would say, bigger groups is probably yeah, it's kind of made for it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the lodge, because we're sitting here at this big, beautiful wood table with the nice leather back seats, and we're looking out over the valley here, and it's all wood beams around here with a huge fireplace, like a very open and friendly spot. Can you just give us a little bit more about other things are at the lodge here?
Of course. I just like to talk about the lodge itself a little, just
right,
for sure, because it's a very interesting building, and like I said before, it was built in 05 roughly. I think it was finished in late 05, and it was actually built by a local timber frame outfit from Cumberland.
Okay.
And it was one of their first big signature projects here in the valley, and originally from Switzerland. Designed and put this timber frame together, and I can't tell you how many board feet of old growth fir we have in here, but it's a lot.
It's gorgeous.
And those big 16 by 16 posts are all old growth, and you can see there's not a single check in these beams.
Yeah,
the last 12 years, it's held up really well. Just amazing workmanship. The lodge itself has about 10,000 square feet.
My goodness.
We have 12 rooms. Obviously, just in behind you there, that big kitchen.
Yeah,
fully.
I want to explore that after, actually.
I will be nosing through there, definitely.
Please do. And that's part of what we encourage people to is like Martina said, the groups coming up here and just getting inspired as they walk in here, and all of a sudden, and we've had this quite a few times now, they just, their brains start just going nuts.
Yeah.
I can do this, I can do that. A buddy of mine's a chef. We're going to do our bachelor party here, and I'm going to bring him up, and he's going to cook in the kitchen. And so we do that, and you have the ocean view right from the kitchen there, and it's just it's a neat working environment. So we have that. We're set up to cook for probably 100 people, and there you guys would probably know better, but it's quite the setup. We have the 12 rooms, all with ocean view. And we have a big yoga studio that's about, I'd say about 1,000 square feet, pretty close to anyways.
Interesting.
We have a spa area downstairs adjacent to the yoga studio.
Okay.
With a big hot tub, covered outdoor hot tub, steam sauna, and massage treatment rooms. We have two of them, and we work with local practitioners that come up and offer different types of yoga,
right,
different types of massages, and those are all the different services that we try to throw in with whatever people want to do up here. It works well with the locals that we've scrounged up that do like coming up here and doing a little bit of work here and there, and it seems to be a good synergy so far.
I gotta say too that again, being the only touchstone I had from here was my brother had been here. We have mutual friends. Actually, John and I have the same mutual friends, and they had also been up here. Everybody said the same thing, that you get up there and instantly you're inspired. My brother was like, "Oh, we can do this, and we can do that, we can do that." And then our other friend, same thing, like, "Oh, it would be the perfect venue for this. It would be a perfect venue for that. We could do this." Like, it is like, not just only is it incredibly beautiful here inside and out, but you immediately look at all the different things that could be done here. It seems like a really great venue for things. So,
yeah. And that's where we kind of we spend a lot of time up here. And sometimes you just become blind to what you can do here. And then you get other people in, and it just adds so much more creativity. And, like you just said, they just come up with these ideas. And that's what we kind of thrive on, is to take those ideas and work with those individuals and make that happen somehow. One of our biggest, or my biggest things that I wanted to get into is the helicopter access, hiking into the, into the park or close to the park.
Well, there's so many trails up here.
Yeah.
Knowing as a kid hiking in this area and going up and down the hill. And I remember when the ski hill was here, and we used to take ski in the winter and then the summer and do a ride up there and just walk around and the trails and the lakes and stuff like that. Now that it's gone, but they're still there and it's still some amazing areas. And I remember doing hikes down to Comox Lake from the top of the hill there and then overnight camping trips and stuff. So yeah, it's
all there.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And we've started working with 49 North Helicopters out of Campbell River and they do those regular scenic flights down to the Comox Glacier and they've always been looking for a spot to land for lunch.
Oh yeah.
And they fly right over the lodge.
Right.
And they never knew this place was, they thought some rich guy lived here or something. Right. I don't know. And we approached them and they're like, oh yeah. And, you know, they're putting two and two together and they're like, oh yeah, that's that place.
Yeah.
They came up and we chatted and we decided to put in a helipad. And this is supposed to open up a few other doors for people to, you know, fly in if they want to or go on those, you know, adventures via helicopter. You know, we can, it's reasonably priced. You know, a lot of people think, oh, helicopter, that's a little bit out of my league or whatever. But it's, you know, with those guys, it's been a good gig. And we've been able to offer that to quite a few people now.
That's a really nice connection to have that to be at that spot, so that in between spot. So
yeah, exactly.
Now it's funny because I remember when this place was first built and going back a few years, and there was a lot of talk in the community about it, and then it kind of just disappeared from everyone's attention. Now, and I don't want to go back on that, but I just want to look at you guys, like what are your hopes are to connect a bit more with the community. Is that what I'm sort of getting the feeling?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, and we noticed so far, and when we opened up January 1st, that a lot of people from the from the valley and even from the island, from Victoria, to just come up here to spend a few days with us and then go skiing or explore the area. So it's, yeah, even people came up here from Comox Valley and they said they didn't know that this place exists, like everybody says that. Mm-hmm. And it felt like for them, like really getting away from the stress and like all the, like the busy life down there. So just coming up here is for them like a little... holiday vacation.
Nice.
Because you guys are really, there's not much around you here. There's a few cabins, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you guys are kind of out in the wilderness here, right on the edge of the park. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The park boundary, I guess the old ski hill is just right in those trees over here, just across the parking lot.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And okay. That's kind of no man's land present time, because nobody wants to take ownership of that old ski hill. It's with the province, but it's not part of the park, so it's kind of in between. But you can hike right from there up into the park and just explore. Yeah.
Now, do you guys know the history of the legend of the Forbidden Plateau?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's Martina's
gig. Get it together, but the bloody history.
I don't know if this is a selling feature, but...
No, I think we have to make it up a little bit, because I don't know if this is true, actually. And I can really, like, give it, like, in the proper way, I guess. But we have to, I don't know, change it a little bit, I guess. Sell the place a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's the name itself too. It's just you know, that's a very good name to have in your, and that's why we kept it in our sort of inner logo,
right?
Just because it just sounds epic.
And it does.
The forbidden spot, the place you can't go to, right?
Yeah, but so. Exactly. Yeah.
Perfect.
And so you have only been in business for a few months, as you said. Have you found that you're drawing from further than, say, the island? Have you been bringing people?
Yeah. Actually, we've had people from as far as Australia. And
wow.
We got a guy coming on Sunday from New Zealand. We've had Europeans here from Switzerland, from Germany,
Poland. Russia. So it's lots of.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So your reach is quite out there. It's quite far.
Yeah, exactly. And we're trying to utilize some of our connections back in Europe as well. But it's just, we haven't really done that too much. It's just something that people seek out, you know, this type of experience up here, and obviously the Europeans love that, especially.
Yeah.
That's my former in-laws. They have a place on Nymph, right across from Nymph Falls here.
Oh, okay.
So I was quite I knew quite a bit about this area just because we know what's going on, like little airstrip down the road and the, all the other things that are sort of happen that are sort of hidden in the woods up here that no one really hears about. And
that airstrip is a mystery to me still. I don't know.
You know what? They live like a couple, like just a corner away from it, and they don't know. Like there's talk of drag strips and
he's been pouring lots of concrete lately.
Lots of concrete. Yeah, I heard they were doing some drag racing there, and of course then it's too loud and but Nymph Falls is and that area is just a great swimming hole. Like in the summer you've got cars lined up and down both sides of the road, parking lots full, so you guys are like right within that, like it's what's to get to the even to get to the base of that. And
absolutely we encourage you know, some of the summer guests showing up, they ask us, you know, what can we do, and I mean that's an easy one, just a 10-minute drive down the hill and just sit in one of the pools
and relax. And now we haven't touched on this because it comes back to more of our podcasts, is we want to talk about what kind of food are you guys doing up here.
I think we're still trying to decide that for ourselves. You know, trying out different options, and right now Andrea is cooking for us. She's been involved here for a long time, and you know, she's got the you know, very delicious and unique way of cooking, which is probably rooted here on the West Coast, I would say, which I'm a huge fan of. At the same time, we're trying to go back to our European roots. It's Bavaria. And so we're trying to, in our minds at least, we're, you know, trying to put a plan together how we can pull that off. And we've worked with Andrea and we've tried out a few things, which turned out really good.
Yeah.
At the same time, and we haven't really chatted about this too much, but I was thinking it would be really neat to have like a rotating. We've talked to a couple buddies back home that are big time into cooking. It'd be nice to bring them out here for, you know, 2-3 weeks at a time and get them to have like a, you know, a 3-week theme. Just you know, the kitchen is theirs and they just go nuts.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Because that's the first thing I see. I mean, especially when we're sitting at this amazing table, this long table, the first thing I thought of was I see long table dinners here, which, you know, like food retreats, essentially, where, you know, you have a chef or you have multiple chefs up here doing what they do. And
well, how many people can you sit at the table here?
We can do 24
even. It's, I mean, it's a bit tight, but it's it's cozy, I guess.
This is one 18 foot by, it's, well, the widest section is almost 6 feet wide, one slab of cypress.
It's insane.
And
it's
came from New Zealand, actually.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. And this is definitely one of our signature pieces in here. And
I'm glad
you guys noticed that.
This is kind of what we do. We definitely notice this stuff because, I'm thinking you could do something super simple here and it would seem fancy. Like you just got putting some nice plates, grilled cheese sandwich, and staring out there. I'm in heaven. But I feel like you guys are going to go a little bit more upscale than that and bring some nicer stuff in.
I'm not a big fan of fancying up food to the max, and because at some point you miss the point, you know.
Right.
It's got to be delicious, and we've come across a lot of the dishes that we know from back home around here, and they call them something, I don't know, West Coast inspired or something like that.
The fusion cooking.
That's good to a certain degree, I find, but then it's got to be authentic.
Yeah.
And I'm all over that. And as long as it tastes good, I think that's the main thing for us. And, you know, you don't need too many little garnishes on your plate to
I actually love how you say that, because that's a bit of a pet peeve of mine, and I know it's something early in
garnished food
in my early cooking career is spending all that time. And I honestly have this thing of like using tweezers. Thank you, Darren.
Yeah.
I'm like, using tweezers to make food is almost
right, when you're impeccably placing each piece of garnish to get it perfect. Yeah, that seems a little overdone for me.
Overdone, because I kind of want to just have some really great flavors and have a nice plate. And yeah, it can still look pretty, but yeah, it's definitely having some really good flavors. So
obviously we're amateurs in terms of food. We just have a bit of a vision, and we would like to get the right people helping us with that and making that work.
Well, there's literally hundreds of farms and food producers in this town. There's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of food professionals. I can only see good things happening.
I'm pretty sure we can see them all from here too. That's we'll start pointing them out when we finish the podcast. Be like, that farm, that farm. Excellent. So, yeah, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for having us. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, what else, is there anything else you'd like to add on about this place? Because there's so, I feel like you guys are new. So I'm like, do you have plans for the future? But I feel like it's really developing all those ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, with every guest we have, with every month, I don't know, it's still kind of a process, and we have to learn and
Great.
Develop the place and
have
lots of ideas.
But. Well, and just to the people listening, I don't think that we can possibly do justice with what we keep saying it's awe-inspiring and great and what have you, but we're going to put up a ton of pictures probably on Facebook and on our WordPress, and we encourage you to come and take a look at that, because I don't think John and I can describe what's up here.
Yeah. No, please do. And one thing I would like to add is, and we've heard this a lot from people that finally, you know, had the balls to walk through that front gate and see what's here after we put the sign up.
Yeah.
And please come through the gate and check it out.
Right.
We're open on weekends, Saturday and Sundays, for the public to come in and have lunch.
Oh, good. Okay.
And it's a good way to see the building and mm-hmm. get inspired and talk about food. And
yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. And so if they want a book, or they have an idea of something they'd like to, an event or something they'd like to do here, how do they get in touch with you?
I guess the best thing, probably going on the website, and you can also see the whole, lodge and what we have and what we offer, and then just send us an email or give us a call. So it's all on woodmountainlodge.com.
Okay.
That's the website. And then, just
perfect.
Contact us.
Sure.
Well, it's so exciting to finally meet you guys and see this place, because, it's definitely inspiring. I've got creative juices going right now.
I didn't want to put you on the spot, but I was like, I could see right away a little while ago that, you had ideas going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. No, that's what we want.
Yeah. No, like I just being in the woods and then being able to see the ocean and just be able to take those flavors and bring them all together into one spot. You've kind of got this ideal location with this beautiful, relaxing area and a nice bar I see beside us that someone could make cocktails and you could have a really, really nice little event up here. Like,
we have so many ideas, and it, like I said before, it's we rely on people like yourselves and anybody that comes in here to tell us, hey, this is what we want to do, and we're going to be all over it. If it makes sense, we're game.
Perfect. And I love the fact that I'm just peeking through the window, but you have this beautiful commercial kitchen that's all ready to go. So
she's ready to go.
Perfect.
So events and everything. I love it.
You can find out more or see more on woodmountainlodge.com. My apologies. I lost it there for a second. Or you can check out us on any of our social media at Edible Valley or Edible Valley Podcast, and find out more information and listen to past episodes. If you have any questions, please do seek us out on Edible Valley, either ediblevalley.com, Edible Valley podcast.com. What else do we have? We have everything.
We have Twitter. Any, if you just put in the Edible Valley podcast into a search engine, we're out there. So I guess we just really want to thank everyone to listening in to another episode of the Edible Valley podcast. We always love to hear feedback from our listeners, and especially from you, just for you to give us a little 2 cents of how you feel about the podcast, what you'd like to see.
Maybe something we missed that we didn't cover that you want more details on.
Yeah, because I would like just to say, if there's anyone out there that is doing this currently or is about to get into this,
So yeah. I'm looking for anyone who's in a restaurant, who's opening up a new restaurant and getting going.
Yeah.
New caterers out there. I know people always get into catering.
Yeah.
It always moves on to something else, but it's really nice to meet up with these people and find out what they're offering and what they can give to people. New producers, which is always great because there's been so many wonderful people that we've run into in this time that have grown their businesses, and it's really neat to see them start off from just really small things and how they progress. And we'd like to know their story of how they got into it. And don't forget farmers.
Yeah.
Nothing better than knowing the people that are working with the lands, or even in our case, in the water. Those farmers out there, we'd love to talk to you. And of course, we're always into new events. With there's so much happening in this community with that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff that we never get a chance to talk about. And then, of course, if you're a food group or a foodie just in general, we'd love to talk to you and find out what some of your favorite foods are.
Yeah, even if you do, like, you know, those sort of foodie dinner groups, we would love to talk to you, like, want to know about your dinner groups and get some ideas, get some talking going about what's going on out there in, you know, in the smaller venues, not just the big venues.
And of course we're putting up some recipes, some audio recipes for people to follow along. So if you're interested in any of that, we've got that all here at the Edible Valley Podcast.
Thanks to everybody that's helped us get here so far. All of our sponsors, as you know, with us stepping out and taking this in that new, more liberating direction, we are looking for new sponsors. We're a new sort of show with a new direction. So it's time to start anew. And we would love to get out there and talk to you or discuss anything further if you want to be a part of the show.
If you could just send us an email at theedibleValley@gmail.com. You can get us at Twitter at Edible Valley, Facebook at the Edible Valley Podcast. And once again, remember, keep it fresh, keep it flavorful, and keep it fun. Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.